Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So our Fesco in the Morning rewatch this week, our game of the week was Week 13, 2016. Chiefs with the victory at Atlanta, otherwise known as the pick two game for Eric Berry. Took the two-point conversion attempt back the other way for what turned out to be the game-winning points in the victory.
I feel like that was the perfect amount of time for me to forget some of the smaller things that happened in that game. Because
for sure,
that fake punt touchdown by Albert Wilson. Oh, I was stunned. It was like I was watching it for the first time.
I was too. I had no idea that was coming.
I found myself cheering, and I was a little nervous at times. You know what I mean? Like I genuinely did not remember most of that game, other than I knew they won at the end.
You knew they won, and I thought they won at the end with no time left on the clock. Yes. I didn't realize there were still 4.5 minutes to go.
And we hammered at times their inability to run out clocks.
Yeah,
right?
They did a great job.
They ran like a 4-minute drill.
Yeah,
and ran out the clock after taking the lead on a rather bizarre play. This team did have certainly some faults.
Where? To the 5, to the end zone, touchdown. The first touchdown on an opening drive this season for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, in week 13.
Yes.
That was the call, of course, on CBS. Week 13, it took them to get their first drive touchdown. I think we're a little spoiled right now.
Yeah, I mean, you look back at 2018, and it seemed like they scored on every first drive. I think they were second in the NFL that year in first drive touchdowns. And last year, they weren't as good. What were they, 11th in the NFL last year in first drive touchdowns or something like that? But you look at week 13 in 2016, that was their first opening drive touchdown of the year. Boy, how times have changed.
Well, when they were on that touchdown drive, they flashed up a stat. Chiefs were 31st in the NFL in red zone touchdown percentage. They were 11th last season in that stat, second in 2019. So it has been a significant increase with Patrick Mahomes under center.
Not as good last year as it was the year prior, though.
I mean, and in fairness, the 3 years prior to 2016 when Alex Smith under center, they were in like the top 15, top 12 range. So he did have them in a pretty respectable, in this pretty respectable air.
Now, there needs to be things to work on every year, Bob. So now this particular Chiefs team can do better at scoring early, because obviously they were the comeback kids in the postseason especially, and so they weren't as good at starting fast.
Right.
They've blown out the myth of you have to start fast, which kind of stinks.
Cause you can fall down 24-0 and be
I always liked that. Yes, starting fast I felt like was important, and this team this past year, like, bah, it's not quite as important. But this particular Chiefs team had a lot of offensive – a lot of offensive deficiencies, right?
Yeah.
To me, this exercise showed how good Andy Reid is.
Yep.
This particular game, for instance, they didn't have Jeremy Maclin, their top wide receiver. Didn't really have any weapons at wide receiver. Well, so he went 3 tight end and ran a bunch of misdirection plays. And then moved around Alex Smith in the pocket and ran Tyreek Hill out of the backfield and gave him reverses and then force-fed Travis Kelce. His ability to just do whatever needs to be done, I think, is a little bit understated, right?
Yeah.
I feel like he'll work with any pieces that it takes to get a win, put his players really in that best position to be successful, which you love to see, but I think Andy Reid truly does that. I've seen this on a couple of games from just a few years ago now. They were like, this wasn't perfect, and yet they were able to put things together just because they're able to get, especially on offense, get people in the right positions to have success or force feed those top-notch guys.
I still think you're understating the excellence of Andy Reid. I really do. And the more games we've rewatched, and we said this last week, but we've watched now three games, and we've done two without Patrick Mahomes, and I'm realizing more and more each week just how good Andy Reid really is as a head football coach and utilizing what he has and not making excuses like a lot of other guys around the NFL are making right now. Andy Reid just goes with what he has. He could have made excuses all along. Well, I don't have any wide receivers to work with, so we're just going to throw the ball to these guys and not even, you know, take a chance with the tight end or using the running game or trying to get creative, you know, with Tyreek Hill. So I think we're witnessing right before our eyes, when you don't realize it in the moment, you realize it afterwards. Andy Reid is a remarkable head football coach, and even with that Super Bowl win that he has now, I still don't think he gets enough credit, because every one of these games that we've rewatched, you look and you go, man, if Andy Reid wasn't the head football coach, we don't win that game. And he outcoached Dan Quinn that day, because Dan Quinn went for two, not one, but twice in that football game. The first time he never should have gone for two, and I still don't think the second time he should have gone for two. You kick the extra point, you win that game in both of those instances if you're the Atlanta Falcons. But Andy Reid outcoached Dan Quinn that day, and that's ultimately why they won the game. And I think both of these games that we've rewatched in recent vintage, Andy Reid outcoached the guy that was on the other sideline from him, and that's why they were able to win those football games. I don't think we can state enough how valuable Andy Reid is. And we're passing out MVPs to Patrick Mahomes and whatnot. Andy Reid is the real MVP of this organization.
It also gave you a greater appreciation for, you have a love for quarterbacks in this town, no matter what their jerseys are.
Not all of them, but I'm getting a more. I think
you have more so love for two not so loved quarterbacks in this town.
Yeah, I thought Matt Castle was put in a horrible situation. The bickering that was going on in that organization, and he was in the middle of it. I thought that was a bad situation for him. But ultimately, I think Alex Smith is going to go down as one of the most underappreciated players in Kansas City sports history. I think he and Mike Sweeney are kind of tied, you know, in that category, because they didn't necessarily play on the teams that gave us the results that we wanted to see. You know, Alex Smith never got to the Super Bowl, never got to the AFC Championship game. Mike Sweeney was never really part of a winner, except that, you know, that 2003 season. Now that he's in the front office, they're doing great things. But I think at times as a player, you don't appreciate people in the moment because you're not getting the results that you want to see on the field. And I think Alex Smith falls into that category for me. They were good, but they never won that championship. He missed that one big throw to the running back in that game against the Atlanta Falcons. But the more we're rewatching these games with Alex Smith as the quarterback, you're looking around at the weapons and you're going, who was around him? He had a legit Travis Kelce. Guys, for the most part, that was pretty much it. Albert Wilson, Chris Conley, DeAnthony Thomas, a banged-up Jeremy Maclin all the time. And the first year that they had Tyreek Hill, this is week 13, they still really didn't know what they had in Tyreek Hill.
He was end-around. Line up in the backfield, throw screens guy.
People would say, like, I'd like to see what you know, Alex Smith could do with these weapons around him right now where we are. I'd love to see what Patrick Mahomes could have done in 2016 or 2013 with some of the guys that were around Alex Smith then. I think it would have been remarkable to see what Pat, because I think he would have elevated their play to a different level as well. But I think it would be remarkable to kind of go reverse and see, all right, when Andy Reid took over this team in 2013, if Patrick Mahomes was his quarterback from the jump and you had Chad Halls and you had guys you never heard of before playing that wide receiver.
Jehu Chesson.
Yeah, guys like that playing wide receiver and tight end. I would have loved to have seen Patrick Mahomes elevate those guys more than I would like to see Alex Smith in this offense right now with all these weapons, because I think he would have had success. But I think ultimately Alex Smith right now is one of the top three quarterbacks in Chiefs history. You can debate him or Lenny. Lenny's in the Hall of Fame. Lenny has the Super Bowl, so he gets the nod, I think, over Alex Smith. But I think Alex Smith and Mike Sweeney are going to go down as two of the most underappreciated players that we've had here in Kansas City.
It is funny to think about, too, that there was definitely an emphasis on making sure you had pieces around Patrick Mahomes.
Right, there really was. There wasn't that emphasis around Alex Smith.
Well, I think the reason for that, though, is because, like, there was so much invested in the idea of Patrick Mahomes being the future. Like, Patrick Mahomes had to be the guy. Like, imagine if they come out and you don't have success with the guy who you traded up to get 17 spots. The guy that you have tabbed your the future of your franchise, you let him sit behind Alex Smith and you let him learn how to be a pro and all of these things wrapped up into it. Not to mention, it's the first time you've drafted a quarterback in the first round in 30 years. Not sure if you guys heard that story when it happened.
I'm not. Is
it? But it is. It is. New information. But like all of those things together, there was so much riding on Mahomes being successful that I feel like that was the pressure to say, hey, let's make sure. Like, really, when you think about it, as we're sitting here looking at it, like, the weapons aren't vastly different. It's Sammy Watkins, and that's the difference. Now, you do have...
Well, it's a more mature Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, now you do have a developed Tyreek Hill. You've got a Travis Kelce who seems to be done making boneheaded or doing boneheaded things on the field. Like, you haven't seen that in a couple of years from Travis. So, like, you do have more mature and developed players around him. But really, when it's just, if we're looking on paper, the roster has only added Sammy Watkins to it. Now, again, I agree. Like, Tyreek Hill is now, you know, your number one rather than your number four or five option, and you're not running just gimmicks to him, which was really
Nicole
weird.
Hardman is your leading touchdown guy this past season from the wide receiver spot too. So,
but I think in fairness, they did try. They did bring in Jeremy Maclin. Now I know that that's, you know, in hindsight we look at it and say, well, he wasn't able to stay on the field. But when you brought in Jeremy Maclin, you brought him in because you're coming off a season where you hadn't thrown a touchdown to a wide receiver. Jeremy Maclin was a huge red zone threat for Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And he continued to be for Kansas City. Like, he was pretty good for Kansas City in the red zone as well. So to say that they didn't at least try to bring in some guys, I think there was some effort there. But really, a lot of it was so much of that cap space was being spent on the defensive side of the ball, and John Dorsey was just, you know, passing out money to guys like Justin Houston and Eric Berry that you didn't really have it to bring in guys.
Well, and that is true. But the dirty little secret around Patrick Mahomes that, you know, if you give guys truth serum in 20 years, they'll tell you this. They were expecting an 8-8 season in Patrick Mahomes' first year. Nobody expected Patrick Mahomes to be what he was inside that organization. They thought 8-8, you know, take a step back a little bit with the new quarterback, and then 2019 would be the year that you would start to see results out of him. And so when they brought Patrick Mahomes in, it wasn't like they had to make sure to, you know, because they drafted him where they did. They surrounded him with the weapons, and they overpaid, if you will, for Sammy Watkins to go out there to make sure they were doing everything to put Mahomes in that position to be successful, because nobody knew he was this good. Nobody, and they will admit that to you. When you talk to these folks around the organization, they will admit, no, nobody thought he was going to be, no, nobody thought he was going to be this good. They thought he'd be a nice quarterback. Well, they thought, even Jay Binkley didn't think 55,000 MVP in his first year. Nobody thought that at all about that quarterback within that organization. They would have told you 8-8, and they wanted to make sure that they had enough weapons around Mahomes to make sure that he did have success and he didn't fall flat on his face. They didn't realize Patrick Mahomes was going to take whoever you gave him and make them 10 times better than they really were.
913 snarkily saying, guess you forgot about Jamaal Charles. I would respond, guess you forgot we were talking about 2016.
Yeah, 16 had Ware and West.
Right.
Here's a terrible plan to bring him back. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We need to get back to playing football for a variety of reasons if the medical people say we can. We don't need to let 1 or 2 months take that away from us. There's too many people that are relying on it.
Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State's football coach, speaking with reporters yesterday. He wants to bring people back. May 1st. He wants to be back in that football building.
Doesn't care what you say.
Did he also threaten the Rona and say, don't go after his players, come after him?
It might get backed up a couple weeks.
I'm a man. I'm 50. Give me the Rona.
Actually, but, it should be the other way around, right?
He wants back in the building. If they have to keep some old people out, no big deal. But it's bound and determined to get those 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds that are healthy.
Is Gundy still rocking the mullet?
I would imagine, right?
I haven't seen him in a while.
It's exactly what you want to hear if you're a parent out of a football coach at a major Division I, with a mullet, who is supposed to have the best interest of your children in mind. And if he's saying this about the Rona, what is this guy saying behind the scenes?
So, I mean, yeah, Gundy's quote is, there could be people who work in the football building who are older or, quote, maybe have some type of underlying condition. Maybe they don't come back. But the majority of people in this building who are healthy, and certainly the 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds that are healthy, the so-called medical people saying this herd of healthy people that can have the antibodies maybe built up and can fight this, we all need to go back to work.
End quote.
So you have a college football coach proposing that their unpaid labor, get back at it.
That's right.
We're going to put you on the front lines before anybody else. Let's get out back out there and get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
We're not paying you anything. You know, you might have a scholarship or something.
But with no classes going schools, on, you're really getting nothing.
You got some online classes you could take. But you know what? We need to get these people back out there to work. Really? No, I don't think college football, I don't think college sports should be the first ones back in the door.
I don't think college sports should even consider coming back until all universities are fully open, dorms are operational, meal services are being had, and the normal student can get back to work. That's when college sports should consider going back to work and getting back at it. Me personally, I'm not a huge college sports fan. I could care less if we have college football this year. Now I care about the NFL. I care about Major League Baseball. I want to see those sports because that's, you know, the sports that I root for. So it's a little bit selfish right now. But if Gundy's going to be selfish about it, I'm going to be selfish about it. I think college sports should be the last bastion of sports that's talking right now about when they could possibly come back. Because quite honestly, you got 50,000 normal students at each university to worry about getting back before we focus on bringing back football.
Yeah,
players.
I mean, I like college sports obviously much more than you do, and has some vested interest, you know, financially
sure.
to having those sports. And I'm not even in the camp of going, "Oh, we got to play these games. I got to go." No, you don't. Especially when the professional leagues, the multi-million dollar player could go out and determine whether or not it is indeed safe enough for him to go back.
That's right.
The unpaid 20-year-old. Who's being forced to come back to campus because coach wants the damn building open.
Right.
I don't have any tolerance.
No tolerance for Gundy at all. And like I said, as a parent, I mean, if this is what he's saying now, this is his MO. This is the way Gundy acts all the time. I mean, so I wonder now as a parent, if my kid is injured, if he's standing over the top of my kid questioning his manhood and telling him to get back in the game, how does he deal with injuries? How does he deal with illness in a normal world if this is how he's handling a crisis right now? This to me is not the proper way to run a football program. And if I'm Oklahoma State, which they did release a statement yesterday, about obviously his comments. If I'm Oklahoma State, I'm seriously considering the leader that we have in charge right now of our football program. Is this the type of guy you want leading the organization?
He wants to be back in the building May 1st. Big 12 still has a mandate to May 31st. You can't do anything.
Yeah.
You can't do anything with your student athletes. You can't do it. The Big 12 is like, okay, we're all on pause. And and the university basically had to come out and say, look, we're gonna heed to medical professionals on this, and we're going to adhere to Big 12 standards on this as well. But, you know, Coach said what he said. But he wants to be back in the building May 1st, and he would love to get the players back at it soon thereafter.
Right. He's also the coach who called people a bunch of snowflakes last year for injuries or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. I know he used the term snowflake when talking about some student-athletes a year ago. I think what the coronavirus is doing, it is really shedding a light on people who are true leaders of organizations and others who aren't leaders of organizations, who may be in charge, but they're not really the people you want in charge. Because ultimately, when you're picking the leader of your organization, whether it's your place of business or whether it's a sports organization, whatever the case may be, you want a leader that's not going to crack under pressure, that's going to handle this situation the right way, and that's going to put everybody underneath him in position to be successful in the best possible ways. Gundy right now is showing me that guy's not a qualified leader of a football team at any level because he has the best interests of himself in mind. He doesn't have the best interests of his student athletes in mind. And if you want to bring back the free labor, Josh, as you call it, right, which is what it is. It is. It's free labor.
You're going to ask the front line of the return to sports. I mean, looking at the calendar, that'd be the front, like one of the early returnees.
Those are like the doughboys you're sending in WW1,
to be
right?
To be the unpaid
right
teens
right. That's what you're going to do. You're
no.
Gonna, no. And then the labor board is going to look at that and go, wait a second here. You can't do this. You can't have these guys out here working and making money for you guys when they're getting nothing in return. And if school's not in session, until schools are back in session, that's when college sports can even talk about getting back in session and not before. So, Gundy, dummy up. Go back to the farm like you were on yesterday. Plant some sorghum and call it a day.
I mean, it's some decent stuff to say. Yes, there is a financial impact for all these.
No doubt.
To get back to work. But those businesses also are paying people. That's my point.
Well, yeah.
You want to get a business back to work because you want your paid people to get back to work and earn income. That's great. If you need to get back to business so that Johnny Football can run wind sprints for you.
Yeah.
Not in
and
favor
you can
of
make money off of Johnny not, Football instead of you know putting them in the best position to be successful. No,
not in favor.
I'm out on Gundy.
Of that. Our big story coming up, and we'll power rank random things next.
I'm a man.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Staff Hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. They can't wait to get working on your boat and your motorcycle and everything when it gets back to normal. You can check them out, SantaFeAutoSound.com. You can email the guys there and ask your questions. And again, when the time is right, we get that boat back on the water and that motorcycle back on the road, they will take care of you at Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967, SantaFeAutoSound.com. Bob hates running backs and gets some backup. We'll power rank some random things. And no excuses from one local coach. That all in the next 30 minutes. Time now for the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
Big story brought to you by Novel Place Senior Living in Overland Park in Blue Springs, a novel choice in senior living. Well, the biggest NFL story today is going to be Tom Brady. Why? Well, he's chatting with Howard Stern today, who I think, for my money, the best interviewer in the business.
Better than us?
He gets to places no one else can get to.
It's easy when you can drop F-bombs.
Well, when you can cuss it,
it helps.
It
really does.
And you can talk to somebody for an hour and a half and just keep going forever and ever. But he's really good at prying. People get in there and spill. So hopefully quite a bit comes from this interview with Tom Brady today. At one point, I don't remember which NFL person was like, it's gotten to the point where he's over-cussing. So apparently Brady was taking advantage of the format.
How many NFL reporters are so mad that they're not doing this interview?
I'm not sure, or that he's not as candid with them, and he's
probably
a lot of Boston scribes who've covered him over the years where he never said anything.
Right.
Are really like sweating this one out today. Ian Rappaport tweeting out that Brady says he never cared about his legacy, and probably knew before the start of last season it was his last year in New England, and admitted he. He cried when saying goodbye to Kraft and Belichick and the people in New England. It was not an easy decision, but he knew the time was right to move on.
Well, and I think when you know the time is right, it's time to go. And I give Tom Brady a lot of credit for realizing the time was right and saying, I'm not done playing, but I'm done playing here. You know, it's not you, it's me type of deal. And he moved on. And I think what Tom Brady did, big picture, Josh, he saved Bill Belichick from having to make the hardest decision in the history of the National Football League, and that was to not re-sign Tom Brady. He took the onus on himself, and he let Bill Belichick get off easy, if you will, on this one. And for 20 years, those guys were together, winning Super Bowl championships, dominating the NFL, changing the league, cheating, whatever they were doing, you know, up there in New England, they did it together for the better part of two decades. Tom Brady knew his time was up because he knows how it works in New England. If Tom Brady still wanted to play and force the New England Patriots to cut him, Bill Belichick would be under
the bad
so
guy.
Much fire. Be the bad guy. How can you cut Tom Brady? What a stupid decision that is. It's Tom Brady. How do you move on from Tom Brady? He'd be looked like as a villain up in Boston. I think Tom Brady saved Bill Belichick from having that villain personality up in New England, and now Bill Belichick will always be remembered in a good vein as well.
Mike Garofalo of NFL Network as well, tweeting out Tom Brady telling Howard Stern the story behind him no longer going to OTAs the past few years. Remember, he's kind of skipped the workouts, stayed out in California, kind of done his thing. He says, Giselle wanted him to start carrying more of the load at home. Quote, I had to check myself. She says she wasn't satisfied with our marriage, end quote.
Oh, wow.
Again, that's the kind of stuff that Howard Stern gets. He's not going to sit down with NFL Network and discuss the home life.
No.
That's the
kind
of stuff.
NFL Network won't bring that kind of stuff.
Stuff he kind of pulls out as well. That family considerations definitely led him to dialing back from some of the extra work maybe that he could have put in with the team. So, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, they still went to two Super Bowls and won one, even with the dialed back OTAs.
Yes, the one year right where he was. They had a weekend retreat with his receivers in Colorado. Remember, it was part of that Facebook watch.
Yeah.
They won the Super Bowl that year, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's like he was still getting ready for a season, so there was no harm there. But certainly we'll see. There'll be plenty more that comes out from this interview today with Howard Stern. I'm sure we'll have it for you as some of the audio comes out a little bit later, and certainly we'll discuss tomorrow here on the show. But big story around the NFL is admitted non-sports guy as well, Howard Stern, making more out of Tom Brady than reporters in Boston have in 20 years.
Probably so, and should. I mean, like you said, Howard's the best. There's no arguing that Howard is the best in the business at what he does and in this profession. You know, we're a close number two, but he is number one with a bullet on that, man.
All right, our Chiefs rewatch this week was week 13 of 2016, Chiefs beating the Atlanta Falcons 29-28, the Eric Berry pick two game, as it was known. But I think some of the themes that it hammered out as well maybe solidified some things, maybe in your mind, Bob, when it comes to a thing you've been on for quite a while, the turning and burning of running backs.
Oh.
That it happened to be that season was the Ware and West season,
right,
where they kind of piecemealed the running back position together and were just fine.
Just fine. They were just fine. Running back is the most overvalued position in sports and the biggest waste of money in professional sports, because you'd never get your money out of running backs. And I've been saying for years, Josh, and you know, I'm not spending money on a running back. I don't care how good that guy is and how good that guy performs. If I'm the general manager, a second contract is just not happening for any running back. Todd Gurley is now the newest example of why you don't pay running backs money in the National Football League. Damian Williams is the latest example of you can find a running back just about anywhere in the National Football League, whether it's a late-round draft pick, whether it's an undrafted free agent, whether it's somebody who's been cut by another organization. When Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are out there, especially when Andy Reid is out there, because he was making running backs work, you know, before Patrick Mahomes came out there with the Ware and West combination that they had back in 2016, you just don't need that investment in a running back. You don't need to spend money on a running back, and you sure as hell don't need to spend a high draft pick on a running back. And there was a mock draft that came out yesterday that showed the Chiefs taking a running back at number 32. It was a mock draft that was put out by not Mel Kiper, but Todd McShay on the ESPN website about who the teams were going to take and what, you know, teams were going to do with their first round draft pick. They actually did a 2-round mock draft, and I looked at it, and they had a running back going to the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm like, nope, I'm out. I am not taking a running back with the number 32 overall pick. I'm not putting myself in the position, Josh, to have a guy drafted and do well and then go, oh, my God, I have to give him that second contract. I'm just turning and burning running backs. To me, they're a dime a dozen. Just find me a guy and we'll make it work.
I don't mind the first-round draft, not particularly for this year for the Chiefs. I don't mind a team drafting a first-round running back, but I'm with you. I'm not paying the second contract. I'm not paying the second contract on a running back because more often than not, I feel like I'm going to get burned. Now, I do think you can get the third-round running back and then turn and burn. I'm a one-contract running back guy.
Like, Shea hasn't taken DeAndre Swift out of Georgia.
I think there are times when a team can go ahead and draft a running back in the first round and it's paid out. The Chiefs have done it too. I mean, the Chiefs have done okay in drafting those types, right? Larry Johnson was a first round pick, right?
Yeah.
I think you can make those work. I'm just not in the second contract. I think the shelf life is too short that I think you make your mistake of, man, they're going to give me that production over the term of a second contract. I'm of that with a lot of players, but more so the running back position.
I mean,
and I also think that with Patrick Mahomes, it lessens the need to have that top-tier runner.
No doubt.
I think you can. Now, can you have a combination of things? Do I think they need to be stronger at the moment, right now, than Williams and whoever the second one is?
The other Williams?
I mean, I'd like to think the
Darwin Thompson
would be elevated to, but I don't know. So do I think you need a little more of a combo if you're going to do those things? Yeah, but I don't waste a lot of draft clout for sure, and I don't pay him the second time around.
And that's why I don't draft a running back in the first round, because there's too much pressure on you then as the organization to have to sign that guy. Let's say DeAndre Swift is drafted by the Chiefs at number 32. Okay, let's say they take a running back at that position. DeAndre Swift's the guy. He goes out there and has four really, really good seasons for the Chiefs. You know what they're telling you? Well, you got to re-sign this guy. You got to get this guy a new contract. Then he starts to hold out because he doesn't get the money that he wants. And then it becomes a big disaster when teams right now in the NFL just aren't doling out that kind of money in long-term deals at that running back position. And then you're under pressure. So for me, I'm taking it out of my own hands. I'm not investing a first-round pick into a running back, because the next thing that people are going to complain about is, well, you invested a first-round draft pick. You got to sign this guy to another contract. And the answer is no, you don't. The franchise tag for me may be the perfect thing for running backs. And if I'm the Giants with Saquon Barkley, he's already been hurt. Okay? In year two, he's already been hurt. As good as he's been, boy, I'm having a tough time giving him a second contract. I would just franchise him for as long as I possibly could.
Chris Sims of Pro Football Talk on not paying running backs.
I think it's a really good conversation. It's scary. I'd be scared to give a running back big money on that second contract right now. No doubt about it. I mean, when you just look at the last three guys to get big money, you know, I'm scarred by that. Of course, Ezekiel Elliott last year, yeah, I don't think he performed up to that his capabilities are up to the standard of being the number one running back in the sport. Of course, we've seen what happened with Todd Gurley and the risk reward factor there. Le'Veon Bell, another guy in the mix there. David Johnson. I mean, those last four big running back contracts have all not really worked out in the favor of the team. So to me, that's the big thing, Mike. Like Christian McCaffrey, who with every other position you would go, okay, he's the next guy up and he's towards the top of his position, if not at the top. You know, we expect him always to be the highest paid guy, right? In any other position, but a running back, I want to sit there and go, I don't know if that's necessarily a true fact of the matter here. I don't know. Is Carolina going to throw $16 million a year out to Christian McCaffrey? I think it's very debatable to me.
That's why there were some rumblings that they could be looking to trade him before he hits that time, so that they don't get stuck doing what teams probably shouldn't do, which is paying their running back.
You mean the Rams paying Todd Gurley?
Yeah. Le'Veon Bell's a perfect example,
Le'Veon
too.
Bell.
No, I mean, Le'Veon kind of did it to himself, though, because he was – I mean, he could have played under the franchise tag and still been productive.
I think he cost himself about $15 million, you know, over the course of his career.
Yeah, I think that was a little more self-inflicted than it had to be. Had he played – and, again, I was making a point, but had he played for the franchise tag, I still think he would have been productive.
Yeah.
But I still wouldn't have given him a long-term deal.
God, no. And the Christian McCaffrey one is the perfect example of why, as a general manager – I'm not drafting a running back that high, because you know what happens.
You can't help yourself.
You get stuck in a situation like this now.
It's a first-round pick. How could you let him go?
Yeah, how can you let him go?
I can see that.
How do you justify that? Well, you know how you justify that? Because the odds say if I sign this guy to a second contract, we're going to end up cutting him anyway, and we're going to have to eat salary, and we're going to have a hit against the salary cap, and he's not going to be as productive.
The NFL draft is getting closer, a couple weeks out, right? We're going to have some dry runs, apparently, some mock drafts.
Are those
being
like
held.
Dry swings?
That's right, dry swings. The mock drafts are going to be done by teams because people were worried about the technology aspect of it and whether or not they could conduct this thing remotely. So we'll have that at some point in time and probably get some various reports. That'll be news, right? The various reports of how the mock drafts went will be, because we're in that,
oh God, yes.
We're in that time where, you know.
I have a source that tells me.
Yes,
you know, you can just
there was
Schefter.
A glitch in the
broadband in Kansas City isn't as strong
right,
as in Tampa.
Right. The 5G coverage in Chicago wasn't was built up
right.
to be, and the Bears had some buffering issues with their Zoom telecom.
What we're learning is that that teams that you're using T-Mobile are having better connection speeds than those on Verizon.
So the complaining is only about to start happening. Ugh. We've had Kevin Colbert, the GM of the Steelers, propose via
Love his late night show, too.
New York newspaper that said he had proposed having three more rounds of the draft because they were worried about, you know, screwing up, basically.
Focus on doing better.
A lot of excuses. Some GMs are worried about getting hacked into Zoom and people stealing their information about where they're going to draft.
Anybody complaining about this draft right now publicly does not have the self-confidence you need to be a general manager in the NFL.
Amy Trask, who was a front office person with the Raiders for quite a stretch, now with CBS Sports, is having none of the GM complaining.
No one understands how hard it is. And I would look at those who are saying this to me, and I'm saying, you're standing here on the sideline, often in the warmth of training camp in the Napa Valley, wearing clothes that the team has provided you and the team washes for you, eating food that the team cooks for you and serves to you, driving a lovely car that the team not only provides for you but gases for you and washes for you. It really isn't that hard. And my reaction to those who have said it would be too hard to have a sort of technological virtual draft has been the same. There are people right now in this world, in this country, who are doing things that really are hard. They're on the front lines. They're first responders. They're medical personnel. They're keeping hospitals clean. They're getting us food. They're taking care of us. That's hard. Drafting from your living room isn't hard.
You get it, Amy. Her and Pioli this week have both just basically blown the whole, you know, this is a hard job, just right out of the water, and basically said, it really isn't. Just stop making excuses for everything. And I love
it's hard to get things right necessarily, but if you put in the preparation, you don't need to worry about some of those other things that potentially bog you down like it seems some teams are worried about.
Some teams just can't get past. Some teams just can't get past some of this stuff. And as former CEO of the Oakland Raiders, I mean, she has seen it all, especially working for the Raiders organization. And it really hits home when you hear somebody who was on the front lines of all this go, enough, okay? Go out there and draft players. It really isn't that hard. The one that really got me the most, though, was I know the teams give these guys cars. They're gassing them up for these guys now, too. Like, you can't go to QT yourself. You're losing the QT roller dog experience.
You have a person that goes and gasses up cars?
Like, somebody else has to go get gas for you? But what do you have to do? You wonder how some of these people are coping right now, Josh. Not being, you know, at the facility to have their car washed and gassed for them. And eating. Like, how many coaches are wandering around going, where's my meal?
I can name
quite a few,
one.
I'm guessing. Quite a few. Let's look at this week's power rankings. Radio.com sports power rankings have the Chiefs at the head of what they're calling the grown-up table, which I like that. The grown-up table includes the Chiefs, the Niners, the Ravens, the Saints, and the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, tell me so who's at the kids' table.
A five-person grown-up table for that. The Buccaneers at number 9. They were one of the biggest risers, of course, in the offseason thanks to the pickup of one Tom Brady.
Can you tell me who's at the kids' table?
They're not labeling that. They're not labeling that.
So they labeled the grown-ups table, but there wasn't a kids' table.
Yeah, unfortunately, they stopped at the grown-up table. It's grown-up table, and then, yeah, there's no descriptions for
I guess just the other 27 teams
technically,
are at the kids' table.
Technically, their grown-up table their kids' table would include the Redskins, the Bengals, the Jets, the Falcons, and the Jags.
That feels right.
Would be the bottom portion of the
Over there
the
putting olives on their fingers.
Radio.com rankings. Sports Illustrated has the Chiefs at number 1. No moves or lack thereof matter more than defending Super Bowl champions being led by the best quarterback in the NFL. The Chiefs' offseason priorities include working towards an extension for Patrick Mahomes. Is it? And also trying to keep their long-term best player on defense, franchise tag Chris Jones. Restructure of Sammy Watkins last week freed up the team's impossibly tight cap space. Chiefs have some holes to fill, namely cornerback. But Andy Reid is in his basement office, likely drawing up some wild pass concepts with his generational quarterback. Will try to defend their championship whenever play resumes.
Breaking news from the Tom Brady interview on Howard Stern right now. He's wondering aloud why there are still open showers in the locker rooms. Like, why are we doing this? Brady talking about the open community showers and locker rooms. Wow. Howard's getting after it right now.
So he's going to a place that once got in trouble for not cleaning their showers.
That's right.
Actually, in Tampa Bay. So good luck with all that.
Interesting. Breaking news brought to you, powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors.
Chiefs number one in the SI poll. The Ravens 2, Saints 3, Niners 4. And they have the, always keep an eye on the Bucks. Oh, where are the Bucks? Bucks are 12th behind the Patriots at number 9. They have the Patriots at 9.
Did somebody not know that Tom Brady
said,
teams?
I'm not ready to send the Patriots plunging just yet. I still have them as the highest ranked AFC East team, higher than Brady's Bucks even. He's not handing over the division to a different team for just the third time this millennium.
I'm confused why he's so concerned about the showers. There's a lot of towel slapping.
No, he's not. He's
not
concerned about. Well, I guess he is concerned. He said they're still open. Like, we're in 2020 now. I mean, like, the community shower thing with the big pole in the middle and like 8 different shower heads coming
doesn't
off.
Doesn't need to happen.
Doesn't need to happen. No, it really doesn't. Now.
What does he want?
Private shower.
A stall.
Like, you go to the J and there's private showers.
Is
you go and you
hard
close
to
the
have
door.
A stall?
And it's It's like basically, I know you probably haven't been to a gym lately, Ryan, but you go like go into a men's room where they have the toilet bowl in the stall. They have those for showers now.
CBS Sports Power Rankings, of course,
bring up.
Led by Pete Prisco.
It's Howard Stern. What did you think was going to be discussed?
Even Prisco can't back off the Chiefs. Says, oddly enough, the team at the top of the rankings did little in free agency. The Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champs, didn't add one player of note from another team. They did suffer some losses, such as Kendall Fuller, but they remain the league's best team. The reason is Patrick Mahomes. He's the NFL's best quarterback, and he'll have back 10 of his 11 offensive starters from that Super Bowl victory. So they have the Chiefs number one. And their mini note says, even though they did little in free agency, they are still the team to beat. Scary thing is Patrick Mahomes is just getting going. Ravens at number 2, followed by Saints, Niners, and Packers. They have the Buccaneers at number 10. Patriots still at 12, but they have dropped 5 spots in the CBS poll, but still at number 12. So there's more faith in the Patriots with Bill Belichick and an unknown quarterback now than I thought there would
be. You don't know who the quarterback is, but you know you got Belichick on there, and that's a testament to how good Bill Belichick really is, you know, as a head football coach. The Atlanta Falcons' new uniforms have just been released, and so far I'm seeing stuff that I really like. They got a gray face mask, and we all know how the gray face mask really changed the Chiefs' uniform when they went with the gray face mask last year for that one game. The Falcons are going black helmet with gray face mask, and I like it. So far, so good with the Falcons' new uniforms. Back to Tom Brady in the showers for a second. As you mentioned earlier, Josh, Howard Stern isn't a sports guy, right?
Correct.
So I imagine Howard sitting there looking at Tom Brady going, why do you guys shower with each other? You know, like asking a question that like we all probably have but would never ask because it's just one of those deals. Howard's like, you guys all shower and look at each other. Like, what the hell? Why do you guys do that? Like, I guarantee you the question was along
like,
those
I wouldn't
lines.
Want to come to my office and have to shower with my coworker.
It
why
is
do
one
you guys
of
shower with your
coworkers? Professions that you have to shower together still.
Yes. I would hope not many other professions.
Like, if there was a shower here at the station, would you guys use it in the morning? Like, just
if there
rolling
was a
in
gym
PJs?
At the station, yeah, I probably would. Yeah.
What if you knew that Binkley also shared the same shower time? As you?
Doesn't matter. I look at it as a money saving issue, and thinking of how much money I could save by not showering at home versus out on the outside.
You know, Binkley's going to talk to you while showering.
Well, you don't do that. There's a
I'm not trying to say that isn't a rule. I'm just saying he would do that. Binkley talks to you while you're trying to take a pee.
Yeah, you don't talk to somebody in a public restroom. Yeah. That's just off limits.
Well, not to Jay. I assure you he would be scrubbing his man region while trying to have a conversation about
the draft.
So, what'd
you think of that 5th round pick?
You see my new mock? Like, bro, wait till your penis
is in your
hands.
What are we power ranking today, guys?
Time for us to power rank some random things coming off the official power rankings. We give you the more official power rankings.
Are we going to rank jobs that you have to shower at?
That's right. top jobs you need to shower at. Power ranking our random things this week. We'll power rank our binge watches. We've been watching a lot of TV lately. I can't say that I've found it terrible. It's been great.
Yeah.
I mean, having live sports and all will be fine, but There's a lot of good TV out there now.
There's a lot of good TV out there. I haven't had a lot of movement in my power rankings this week. They've been pretty stagnant for me, to be honest. Coming in at number four, I feel like this is highly underrated and always overlooked. A great, I guess we'd call it a situational comedy. Scrubs coming in at number four on my list. If you're not a Scrubs fan already, go ahead and sit down. Grab yourself a couple hours. Check it out.
Ever build the house to go along with that deck?
No, they didn't. They just had that deck. They just
bought a piece of land, built a deck on it, and they would hang out on the deck.
It was a great spot to chill.
Great idea. But there was no house.
No house?
I don't know if I ever got to the end of Scrubs. I don't know if they ever actually built a house.
The last season was kind of really disappointing. So you don't really need to get to the last season, but get through seven, somewhere in that ballpark, you'll be fine. Coming in at number three on my list, another great comedy, The Office. I don't care how many times you rewatch that, you'll find something new each and every time you watch it. Number two on my list, again, another one that I think I find something new to love every time I watch it, and that is HBO's The Wire. You got to get the home box, Bob, if you want to do it. But The Wire coming in at number two. And number one on my list, you've got like 30 years of a catalog to go through this. There's plenty of material, and it's always oh so good. It's The Simpsons coming in number one on my list of binge watches.
The Simpsons.
They never age on that show. It's really strange.
Bart should be in the old folks home by now.
Number four for me this week. I really enjoyed this last season of Ozark. Last season was kind of okay. This season I thought was fantastic. The only bad part is I'm not sure how I feel completely, guys, about the binge watch of new shows because they're over so quickly. I like going back and catching up on shows I've never watched before, but the ones that like come out like watched it. We watched the whole season in like under a week, and I felt like we were slow playing that. You know what I mean? Like now it's over. You gotta wait for the next season. Ozark though, really good. Number four on my list. Number three, one I went back to. I think I just recommended by somebody. I think. FX is Justified, really good show. It's about seven seasons, I think, of that one. It's a kind of a cop show in Redneck Kentucky, which is not bad.
I was there. Louisville.
Number two, a tie for me because I'm never sure, but when in doubt, put on either an episode of The Office or Parks and Rec. Either one is never going to take you wrong. And my number one binge watch, again, much like Ryan, mine's not changing. It's The Wire. I can watch that all the time. I always do it in order, and I just pick up from where I left off. I don't know how many times I watch that. Also, right now, I think Bob, HBO's got the free, not everything free, but free old shows. And Amazon, you can watch it via Amazon.
Oh, you can watch The Wire via Amazon?
I believe so, yes.
I did not know that. I'll have to check that out.
So, there you go.
All right, for me, I'm going with The Office at number four. I'm with you guys. If you're looking for something and you got nothing, The Office is a go-to. I don't know how many people have Apple TV, but we got the year for free. The morning show is really good on Apple TV. Like, really, really well-written, well-acted. Steve Carell is great. Jennifer Aniston is brilliant. Like, it is an awesome show. So check out The Morning Show. Seinfeld, another one of those that I just go to if I got to watch something, always something good on Seinfeld. I try to watch at least one Seinfeld a day. And number one,
The corona away.
It does.
I think it's what the phrase was.
It is. One Seinfeld a day keeps the corona away. And for us right now, it's Breaking Bad. Never watched it when it was on. I'm in season two right now. And Walter White just got into the car with the, what's his name, Toco? And
Tuco,
and he's in the front seat, and Tuco's in the back with the gun, and that's where we left off yesterday.
Uh-oh. Better catch up, then.
Better call Saul is what I better do.
So those are our power ranking of binge watches. You can submit yours as well, 69306, as always, on the text line.
I got to say, I really like these Falcons jerseys. They have a white.
You do.
They have a white one that just says, like, ATL over top of the numbers.
The black one says it, too, and the red one says it as well.
Oh, wow. I must not have been paying attention to that. Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah, I like them, man.
It's got kind of like the helmets. The Dirty Bird era going for it. I know they
still
have
that
same
logo, but still.
Well,
they got one of those retro Dirty Bird era. I think the black one with the ATL is their Color Rush jersey, all black like that. And I think the one in the background with the black jersey and white pants, I think that's going to be their normal
game. There is a red fade-to-black jersey that, like, they pair with black pants. It looks very sharp.
You like these better than the Bucs relaunch?
I mean, I liked the Buccaneers yesterday, too. I thought they did a phenomenal job. You guys know I've said it for a long time. I think one of the most difficult things in sports is to name a team and give it uniforms. And you've seen two teams knock it out of the park, at least in my opinion, over the last couple of days. Now, I didn't have a problem with the Buccaneers uniforms already. Like, I thought that the color scheme for them was kind of cool. It was a little more modern. I thought that the digital print on the numbers was pretty cool, a nice, sleek, modern look as well. But somehow they managed to improve on them.
I wish that their alternate was the creamsicle, though.
I do, too.
I think there was a lot of anticipation that they were going to go creamsicle with Brady there. And I was really disappointed that they didn't have that as their alternate.
But I think also what you're looking at with Tampa Bay, with their uniforms, like they're still trying to incorporate the creamsicle a little bit. Either go with it or don't. You know, like either go with the creamsicle and let's make it a good-looking uniform with the creamsicle, or don't go to it and have like a random number outlined in the creamsicle like they're kind of going with. It's like they're trying to hold on to it, but they're not fully committed to it. It's like, I kind of like you, but I'd rather date other people. Like either commit to the creamsicle or get rid of it altogether.
You're supposed to give the fans what they want. They were anticipating creamsicle jerseys yesterday and you didn't give it to them.
And you didn't give it to them.
I feel like they let their fans down. This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. We've been doing Today in Tourney History. Tourney's now done, right?
Yeah.
But there is some interesting Today in Sports History we'll get to next.
FESCO in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.